Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You have time. Come on. To call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. If you are in the Jacksonville area, we want you to come out on every Thursday night at 7 o'clock to the Hour of Power broadcast, Thursday Night Live, which is located at 6416 Marion Street here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, get ready as we begin to pray that God will move and mighty things will happen in your life. For the Word of God says He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What are you asking? What are you thinking that you need? What's on your mind? Let's go before the Most High God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you, God, for this day, for this hour, the Hour of Power broadcast. We thank you, God, for you being a supernatural God, a God that is able to move on behalf, Father God, of millions all around the world, all at one time. Father, we thank you for being able to heal bodies. Thank you for being able to raise the dead. Thank you, Father, for making the blind to see and the lame to walk. Now, Lord, stretch the people's faith today. Build their faith. Call their faith to soar. Call them to know, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega, that you are the beginning and the end, that you are the first and the last, and you are the true and the living God. And God, thank you today for not being an imitator, but God, that you are the genuine. God, you are the real thing. God, just like they said, Coke was the real thing. Coke can't compare to you. But Father, we thank you for being the real thing, for being real in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and get to the scripture this morning. And if we were used as a topic, we would use uncover the root and receive your healing. We're going to be speaking from the second chapter of Mark. And we would like to say Merry Christmas to all of you, our listening audience. Merry Christmas. And Jesus, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And immediately many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came and they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which were born of four. And when they could not come near to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick palsy lay. When I began to look at the Word of God, when I began to see again the miraculous, when I began to see I am, the I am that I am, when I began to see the omnipotent God, the God of power, the God of grace, the God that has all power in his hand. When we see the Word of God as Jesus had entered into Capernaum, and it was known as the Word of God say, it was heard, in other words, that Jesus was in the house. Isn't it good to know that Jesus is in the house? The Word says, and immediately he was immediately many were gathered together. When they heard that Jesus was in the house, when they heard that they could get to Jesus, when they knew that something was going to happen, if they had sickness in their body, if they had leukemia, if they had cancer, oh, my God, if they was crippled, if they had arthritis, if they had bursitis, if they had a problem with their cervical area, maybe they had a disc in the cervical part of the neck. Oh, was it anterior? I don't know. Was it posterior? I don't know. Was it in the lumbar area? I don't know. But I do know that they knew that Jesus was in the house. They knew that Jesus was near. So they gathered together as much as it was not room to receive them. No, not so much as at the door. It was so many people that was in the house. Isn't that an awesome, awesome word to hear, that it was so many people that came to Jesus that it wasn't even any room or the house. It wasn't even a room even at the door, about the door. But it tells us that Jesus preached the word to them, and that's what so excites me as well, that they came to see Jesus, they came to hear the word, they came to be healed. And so, therefore, Jesus preached the word to them. And then the word tell us that there came to him bringing one that was sick of the palsy, which was born. He was born this way. He was born of four. And when they could not come near to him, remember, it was so many people around, outside, inside of the house, that they couldn't even get to Jesus for the press. But that did not stop them because they couldn't get inside. It didn't stop them because they could not get even to the door to go in the main entrance or the back door. It did not stop them. These people was persistent, and they wanted to get to Jesus. So what they did, because they had a friend, they had somebody that needed a healing. They had somebody that had been their way this way since he was born. So therefore, since Jesus was in the house, since Jesus was there to move on their behalf, since Jesus was there to cause a miracle that day to happen to their friend and their loved one, they did not stop because there was a press, because there was a crowd. You know, sometimes when people go to main events, and especially if they may go to hear a man or woman of God, and if they was in a sanctuary and they couldn't get in, they gonna get some of them get in their cars and they going to leave. We can't get in, so we're going to leave. But this wasn't the mentality of these people. What they did was they couldn't get in, come in the main entrance, and it was such a press that what they did in faith, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. And when they had broken it up, they uncovered it, they took some action to what they were doing. They didn't just sit on the roof, but they uncovered the roof. And then they began to break up. If there were doors or whatever, it had to be moved. They moved it, and they let down the bed where in the sick of the palsy lay. Come on, we're going to get to Jesus today. Nobody is going to stop us from getting to Jesus. Nobody is going to stop our relative, our son, our daughter from getting to Jesus today, because he's here, he's in the house, and we're going to get him in the house. If whatever means necessary to get him in the house, we're going to get him in the house. We're going to get our friend. Why? Because he needs a healing. He can't walk, so therefore we want him to get healed today. You know, he don't want to lay down all his life on a stretcher and somebody have to continue to carry him. But this, our friend, our relative, need a healing. So they took him and they uncovered the roof and they moved the boards that was under, whatever it was, in order to get in to see Jesus. And they let down the bed. Come on, come on. Could you imagine the crowd? They had to move in. They had to move. It was a crowd, and you see a man coming through the roof. They're breaking the roof. Man coming through the roof. So their friends, the loved ones, whoever people were, they let down the man that had palsy before Jesus. But when Jesus, come on, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus see your faith, when Jesus see you moving in the power, moving in the spirit, when Jesus can see that you're letting nothing stopping you from getting your blessing, and that your faith has soared and your faith want to see things happen, the supernatural power, the miracle working power working in the lives of their friend, their relative. When Jesus seen that, what did Jesus say? He said to the sick of the palsy, son, your sins, whatever sins that you have committed, whatever sins in the thing that you have done, it is forgiven you. When the certain of the scribes, and the when they were sitting, and they reasoned in their heart, you know, there's always when something good is going on, when they see the God demonstrating his power, when they see God speaking the word of God, and when God was letting this man know that his sins, come on, this would have been a rejoiceful time to know that his sins was forgiven him. No matter what you've done, your sins have been forgiven. But the scribes didn't like that. I wonder, who is this man going to tell this man that his sins is forgiven him? I mean, who is he? He doesn't have the right to tell him that his sins are forgiven him. And they thought Jesus was speaking something like blasphemy. But it was Jesus himself, the one that will forgive sin and the one that will forgive our transgression. They were saying, who can forgive sin but God only? I love the word of God because it simplifies. It makes us know that, yes, oh, if we can just believe God. That's when a sinner can come to God and to know that his sins has been forgiven. Not everybody that have sickness in their body have sinned. Some of sin was done, like the man was blind, for the glory of God. Because remember, the disciples want to know who sinned, you know, that this man was born blind? No. The man hadn't did anything. He hadn't sinned, but we know that all of us are sinning come short of glory. But I'm saying that the Lord let them know it wasn't that sin caused this to happen in this man's life. But then in that 8th verse it says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned inside themselves, he said to them, what reason? He knew what they were thinking. He said, what reason do these things in your heart? See, Jesus knows the heart. Jesus knows what you're thinking when you're thinking evil things, when you're doing evil things, when you're not in agreement with his word. They knew, Jesus knew that these people was coming against him and want to think that he was committing blasphemy. But he told them, he said, why reason you these things in your heart? He wasn't going to back off. He said, whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise and take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, I'm going to show you people here something today. I'm going to show you something here. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say to you, arise. In other words, get up, and take up your bed and go your way unto your house. What does that mean? That he got an instant healing. That he wasn't anymore sick anymore. That those that brought him in to through the roof, that this man was able to walk out of the door. He didn't even have to go back through the roof. Come on. He didn't have to take bed and lay in that bed anymore until the nighttime when he got ready to go to sleep. Come on, whatever bed that he was lying in. But this was something that they were carrying him in order to get him around from day to day. That day stopped wherein that this man had received his healing. No more do I have to be carried by my friend. No more do I have to be carried by my relative. No longer have people have to look at me while I'm lying here on this stretcher. No longer I can't raise my leg. No longer I can't walk any longer. But, hey, I am healed by the mighty power of God. Today I receive my healing. Why? Because somebody had the faith to uncover the root and so that I can receive my healing. Oh, my God. I say to you today, where is your faith? Where is your faith? The word of God says, now faith is. Now, come on. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's time to believe God. It's time to stand on God's word. Word of God said, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of thy word going to fail. God's word is never going to fail. Not one time will it fail. But it's time to believe God. Believe God that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Believe God for whatever healing that you need in your body. Believe God for whatever circumstances that you are in on today. You may be saying in your spirit, in your mind, it is coming up on next week. It's going to be Christmas Day, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. But you got to believe God to know that God has all power in his hand. You got to know that the God that was born on Christmas Day, hallelujah, he is a God that came to save you. Oh, my God, the greatest gift that you could ever have is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The greatest gift that you could have is Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my God, if you never had that bicycle, if you never had that car that you expected, if you never put that ring on your, that ring was put on your finger the way that you wanted to be put on there, oh my God, you got to believe God. You got to know that God, that He is God, and that He is God all by Himself. Believe that He is able to do this. And we have to, our last point is that we got to stand on our faith. Come on. We on the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. No matter what in my life, no matter what I see, no matter what I experience today, tomorrow, I'm going to stand on faith. I'm going to stand on faith of the power of God, the word of God. I'm getting this word deep down in my soul. I'm being saturated with the word of God. But because of circumstances, oh, because of my life in Christ, because I need Him, because I'm going to have faith to believe God no matter what. And I thank God when I think about Abraham, how Abraham, when God told Abraham, see, God was exercising his faith. God was causing Abraham to mature even more in faith. I believe that even when Abraham, when God told Abraham, his son, the only son that he had, I mean that promised son that he had, oh my God, he told Abraham to go and offer up this child before him, to sacrifice his son. Come on. But I believe that Abraham had to stand on his holy faith and to know that God was going to take care of the situation. I know what God is hearing, saying to me, and I know what God is saying for me to take my son and to offer him as an offering before him. Hallelujah. But I believe that Abraham loved God so much that even if he had to do so, that he was going to do it. And I believe even as he began to make preparation to do what God asked him to do, and see, that's what we got to do. We got to do what God asked us to do. Don't turn it around. Don't fix it up, but do exactly what God said for us to do. And Abraham, he obeyed God. He got up. He took, and he didn't get up just any time. Hallelujah. I don't know what time that was designated. God didn't tell him what time, but he got up early in the morning. Come on. Oh, I can imagine people knowing that they were going to have to do what God told Abraham to do, that all they could do is lay in the bed, oh, groan and say, oh, God, please change your mind. Oh, God, don't do this to me. Oh, God, you promised me this. How can you take my son? How could you ask me to do such a thing? How could you take my daughter? How can you take what you have given me and want me to make such a sacrifice? Oh, God, what are you doing? But Abraham got up early that morning, took of this young man and those that went with him. And Abraham got to the point wherein, hallelujah, he took those with him, got a certain distance, told the others that was with him to stay behind, that they were going to come back. Come on. He was glory to his name. And when he got to the place, he tied Isaac down, hallelujah, on the altar that he had made. He tied him down. Oh, my God, glory to his name. Oh, Isaac wanted to know where was the sacrifice. At first, he didn't even know who was being sacrificed. He didn't know that God told him to sacrifice his son. He didn't know that he was that offered. He was that sacrificed. But this man, this young boy, man at this time, hallelujah, he laid there humbly. Oh, my God, didn't know what was happening. I can imagine him being a little disturbed about what was about to happen. If Dad lost his mind, have he gone insane? Oh, my God. But yet he lay there. And when Abraham began to bring down that got the knife that he was going to take this boy's life to offer him. The angel of the Lord, God, let him know, don't do this. Come on. Come, don't do it. Oh, my God. Sometimes God will see how far you're going to go, and this is not for you to do as God told Abraham to do. God is not telling no man, no woman, praise God, you see, to kill or to sacrifice your son, to sacrifice your daughter. I got to make it plain. Somebody got to hear me today. God not telling you to do this. That's what he told Abraham to do. But even in that, he did not allow Abraham to take his son's life because he was in a being tested. Oh, he wanted Abraham to believe him. He wanted to see whether or not that I truly trust Abraham. But yet we see the love of God that Abraham had for God. He loved God. Come on now. He loved God more than he loved his son. Glory to his name. He loved that pride more than he loved his wife. If his wife knew what he was about to do, come on, his wife would have been all over him because of the fact that this is what God, it didn't matter. You know, I got to come back home and tell my wife that he didn't even think this because he knew that God was going to bring him out, that God was going to move in this situation. So don't you try to do what Abraham, because God didn't tell you, Sally, Sue, Jim, whatever your name may be. He didn't tell you, Tom, Dick, or Harry. He didn't tell you to do these things. He didn't tell Sue to do these things. But he told Abraham, and Abraham proves himself. And Abraham, hallelujah, glory to your name, Abraham was that day received of the victory, and he walked in victory. And God gave Abraham, if you read in the Word of God, that how he blessed Abraham. He went not just one thing that you've gone through, but sometimes we go through tests in our life. Come on. We go through things in our life. We go through struggles in our life. Just like when we talked to other not too long ago, when we told you about Abraham. I'm on Abraham. I'm talking about Abraham as well this morning. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. How he had gone in and how he wanted to rescue and intercede for God, not to burn to save the people that was in Sodom. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, they was in a place of their life was turned upside down. These people were sinners. They live in a luxury place, but yet they didn't have God in their heart. They had turned away to apostasy. If they knew anything about God, they had turned away. Can you imagine anybody turning away from God after they have served God, after they have walked before God, and then you find yourself turning away from God? What is this? What is that about? But we see that these people, they was in a lifestyle not only with homosexuality and lesbianism, but yet they was adulterers and fornicators, homemongers. They was cheaters and robbers and all of these other things. And their lifestyle dictated to them the way that they wanted to live. And I tell you, oh, thank God for the mercy of God when Abraham began to intercede, because he knew his brother, his nephew Lot was living over in Sodom. Hallelujah. And he began to intercede. He started at 50. The Lord, if it's 50 there, would you not destroy these for 50 people? And then, come on now, come on, you weren't even 50 people. Then he started with the 45. And then he just, come on, would you do it for 30? Would you do it for 20? Would you do it for 10? And you know what? He stopped at 10. And you know what? It wasn't even 10 that was saved. Glory. He was able to get the people, Lot family, out of that, Abraham family that was over there, that was living like in another city, another place. He was able to get them out. But basically, God destroyed them with of God because of their disobedience, because being stiff-necked, because of their apostasy. But when you can have faith like this man and his friend, his friends that took him up there on the housetop, let the man down, and didn't have to walk out the same way he was. I believe that that is the God kind of faith that God is looking for today. Faith to reach the lost. Faith to get people here. Faith to get them delivered. Come on now. Faith to see them live and not die. So we just want to thank God today for the word of God. If you're listening, and I know that you're listening out there, I want you to know that this is the day that your faith, hallelujah, can get to begin to soar, that you can step out in faith. Come on, they had to tear down the roof, up the roof, in order to get their friend. And what are you going to do in order to get somebody healed? What are you going to do to get somebody delivered? What are you going to do in order to cause a miracle working power to be manifested in the lives of the people? Come on, come on. We're getting ready right now to go before the Lord in prayer. But I want you to know right now, if you are a sinner, the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, that's you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So today we're offering you as a free gift from God, everlasting life. You know, no matter what you did, no matter what you said, no matter who you talked about, come on, God is wanting you to have, he wants you to have the gift of eternal life. For the word of God say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God want to give you something that nobody else can give you. He can give you eternal life, that you do not have to perish, that you can have everlasting life. I'm not saying that you're going to live on this earth the rest of your life, because flesh and bones cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, when you receive Christ, when Christ comes into your life, there is a, you have made a difference. God is going to come in. God is going to change you, going to change your mindset. He's going to give you a mind of Christ. The word of God says to be not conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Spirit. You don't have to think the same old wretched things. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to do the things that you used to do. It's going to be a brand new you. The word of God says you will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things going to pass away. All things going to come new. All you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. God, deliver me. I want to live the rest of my life with you. Remember the thief on the cross. Come on. Thief about to get was being crucified just like Jesus. But the difference was he was a thief. The other one was on the cross, was also a lawbreaker. So therefore, whatever he had done, whether it was murder or whatever, they was going to die that day. But yet, that thief on the cross, he had sense enough to know who was next to him. He had faith to believe God. Even when he was getting ready to die, he was got faith to believe God. He said, Lord, remember me when I come into that kingdom. Come on. So he let him know, the day that thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't get time to get baptized or any of those things, but that day he was going to be with Jesus. Come on. Come on. Today, not that you're getting ready to die, not that you're getting ready to leave here, but I'm telling you, we don't know the day or the hour. Where the God said, we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming. Where the God said, he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, even as we pray for those that are not saved. Father God, you're able to save to the uttermost. Father, you're able to cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, even as we reach out, God, to those that do not know you, God, those, God, that have turned their faces up against you, God, those, God, in the name of Jesus, have living the life, Father God, of a lost person. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, even right now, God, to forgive them for their sin. God, they want in. They want to come back in. God, 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 let them back in. God, save them. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and God, cause them, Father, to live this life, God, so that they can live again. Lord, thank you, Father, even right now for saving every boy, every girl, every woman, every man, God. God, their heart is repenting even right now. Father, their heart is repenting. God, it's a true repentance, God, because they want to be saved, and God, they want to be delivered, and God, they want to be able to know, God, that you are their Father. God, when they pray, they want to be able to say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debt to it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Father, for Lord remembering as God in the mighty name of Jesus that those that were not saved, but now they are saved. And Father, for those that have infirmities in their bodies, Lord, we come against every infirmity of arthritis. Arthritis, spirit of arthritis, we command you in Jesus' name to lose your hold from the people, from the hips, Father, from the hands, Lord God, and every part of their body. Lord, we pray even now, God, that there is a healing. Heal of our side. I command in Jesus' name that healing, God, be manifested. That spirit of arthritis will come out and go into the very pits of hell. Arthritis, spirit of arthritis, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. And I command in Jesus' name, God, that it be done even right now. Father, those that have respiratory problems, those that can hardly breathe, God, those that have problems with their lungs, God, with bronchitis, I pray even now that they are healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because there is power in Jesus' name. I walk in the authority of your power even now, that you, God, will heal them even now, no matter what the disease, no matter what the infirmity, no matter what the need is. God, do it according to your word. And Father, we just thank you, God, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. Again, we're broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, pastor and founder of Crusaders for Christ World Mission and Evangelism Center, which is located here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We invite you to come and visit us at 6416 Merriam Street here in Jacksonville, Florida. We have the Hour of Power Thursday night live every Thursday at 7 p.m. And we like to invite, and this is to all people, all backsliders, believers, sinners, streetwalkers, co-workers, friends, business owners, the rich, the poor, the hopeless, the fainting heart, the depressed, the fearful, the young, the CEOs, come on, senior citizens, visionaries, the jobless, spiritually and physically blind, we invite you, the weak and the strong, the professor, come on out and come and visit us. Teachers and preachers of the gospel, we also welcome piano players, drummers, saxophone players, praise dancers, guitar and organ players, and the list go on. Come on to Crusaders for Christ, World Mission and Evangelism, that is located 6416 Marion Street here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. May God bless and keep you is our humble prayer before God.